Yep, chapter 1 of Luke, I thought we would go through the Song of Mary, but I wanted to prelude that with what led Mary to this heart that we read this morning, you know, in verses 46 through 56. And I think the previous verses, 26 through 45, gives us a hint of understanding of why this, as she glorified the Lord here, what led her to that. So I want to go through verse by verse here and just pull out some things, and some things that we should think about too as we glorify the Lord, right? Why do we, what leads us to, what leads us to worship? What leads us to exalt Him above all names, right? Because His name is above all names. So verse 26 says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was." So there's a few things here in verse 28 that should catch our eye. First of all, the angel commanded her, said, "Rejoice," right? It was a rejoiceful time, right? And that rejoice isn't just we read through the Christmas story yesterday for the folks, you know, chapter 2, 1 through 20 there. And Keith came in. I said, "Hey, Keith, you want to read the story to him?" I said, "Yeah, you know, Keith, he's very dramatic in his reading. He likes to read what's there. He's that literature major, you know, kind of guy." And he read through it. And afterwards, I said, "Man, that was great. You know, it made you feel like you were there, didn't it?" I look at when the angel tells her to rejoice, it's like, this is, get off your seat, get onto your feet, jump for joy. This is excitement, right? This is excitement. That she doesn't have to be troubled with this, but he brings her. That's what I love about the angels of the Lord. See, the angel of the Lord always brings us, you know, a child of God, angel of the Lord is always good news to us. It's a time of rejoicing, right? Now, if you're not a child of the Lord, when the angel comes, it could be quite threatening, right? But for us, children of God, it is a rejoiceful time. It's a time to get up. It's time to jump for joy. And he also remarks there, look at highly favored. Highly favored. Why was she highly favored? We're highly favored, right? Ephesians 1, chapter 1 tells us that by grace, right? God takes pleasure in us by grace, His grace. He pours out our grace, not because we deserve it, not because Mary deserved it. The angel didn't come and say, "Mary, you know, you're highly favored because of all the great things that you have done and accomplished in your life." She's 14 years old. She's a teenager. Right? Highly favored. She didn't deserve what God had came to do in her midst. We don't deserve what God has come to do within us. He comes to us by our grace, by His grace, right? Not by our merits. Not by what we deserve. If it was by what Mary deserved, see, Christ would have never came to her. If it was for what we deserve, Christ would have never settled took home in us, you know, took residence in us. If it was for what we merited, what we deserved. And a wonderful good news is for the child of God is the next thing there. The Lord is with you. You know, any time that you're in a sorrowful place or you're in a troubled place, it is good news to hear that God is with you. Right? Emmanuel, that God is with us. Right? And so the comforting, the agent here of God, the angel Gabriel, would come to comfort her. Look at God is with you. When Jesus reached the end there, right, after he was resurrected, what did he say before he entered into heaven? He said, I'll be with you always. Right? It's a comfort to us to know, even though physically we can't see him, we know his presence. Right? There's no greater presence under the tree than his presence. Right? We need his presence in our lives. If we're ever to the place where we think we're alone, where we think that he doesn't care, he's there. He's with us. The agents of Christ want us to realize, you know, the ambassador here, Gabriel, of the Lord wanted Mary to realize that even though in this difficult life that it was under the power of Caesar and the oppression of Rome and all that stuff, Mary, you're not alone. God is with you. The Lord is with you. And then, of course, she's blessed, right? Blessed among women. Why was she blessed among women? Well, she was blessed because of God taking residence in her. We're blessed among people because, why? Because God is amongst us. You know, some people might want to say, well, Fred is blessed because he has this or he has that. But I'm far blessed beyond my material possessions, right? I'm blessed because he has taken and filled that void within my life, and Jesus lives within me. You know, the Holy Spirit his presence is within me. The deity, God of this universe, has taken residence within us. We are blessed as Mary is blessed. And of course she was blessed, right? By the sense that that God had chosen her to carry the Lord Jesus those 9 months. Could you imagine every kick, every movement of the Lord she felt? And I wonder about us sometimes. Do you feel the movement of God? Because he has taken residence in us. We should, right? I mean, so often, don't we question our what the Lord shows us within us? I think the Lord's showing me this, but I'm not sure. Well, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if the Spirit of God has come upon you, you are indwelled in with Him. If you're saved, by golly, He's probably talking to you, right? He's probably talking to you through the Spirit of God. But just to know, you know, I was thinking, Lord, just to know your every movement. To know when you kick. You know, I remember one of the kids, I can't remember which one, I lose track, but I remember Karen going, oh, come here, feel this. And I'd put my hand on her stomach, and the fist would go like this. Right? It was probably Jonathan, you know. Or somebody would go like this with their foot, and you'd feel that bulge would stay there for a little bit, and then, you know. But to feel the movement of the Lord, to feel what He is doing within you, you know. I can only say I've experienced the natural birth thing from the outside, right? But that is a great miracle. But just think of this miracle. A virgin. A virgin used by God in this way. Verse 30, then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. I'm here to comfort you, Mary. Mary, for you have been found, had found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Jehovah is salvation." Wow. To think that, you know, they were indoctrinated with the scriptures, you know, certainly they knew the scriptures, and to know that as Mary sat there and understood her place in history, in a sense, where she was the virgin that God had chosen to place the Savior of the world in. Wow. As she looked back at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, you know, where it says, "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son." Here she is, being spoken by the angel Gabriel, saying, "Hey, you're the one." Being picked out of all the masses. How could it be? It's amazing. Verse 32, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." He will rule over everything. You know, from a natural standpoint, when a child is conceived, we don't really understand or know where they're going or what they're going to be doing. But Mary had the inside scoop here. She knew that this child was one that would rule and reign. He would be given the throne of David. He would be called the Son of the Highest. I said, wait a minute, this is the Son of the Highest, that must be from God. The Son of God. But see, even though Mary was being used by God, she was the vessel being used. She wasn't necessarily the object of attention here. Right? Jesus was. So even though God had to choose somebody, right? God had to choose somebody, and He chose Mary. And I'm thankful. Because see, Mary, if we look at Mary in a deep way, we find that she is a humble maidservant of the Lord. That's what the song says. God chose the most humble woman to work through. Because see, when we look at Mary, we look at her and say, she had nothing to offer the Lord but her womb. Right? She had nothing. We have nothing to offer the Lord. Right? But that place, that cavern within our hearts, that we would say, "Welcome, right? Come reside in me. Come plant your desires, Lord, in me. Speak to me your affections, Lord. Speak to me your adversities, Lord, or your aversions." And then 34, Mary says to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" You know, she probably looked, let's face it, she was human, right? So she looked at the physical and said, "Look it, I know what it takes to conceive a baby." Right? "And I know that I haven't. I know what I know. And I have not been with a man. So how could this be?" You know, how could this be? And then, of course, the angel goes on in verse 35 to explain, and it says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. The power of the highest. God the Father would overshadow you. That Holy Spirit, the Trinity here, right? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would be seen here. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. That's really Messiah, right? But it says there that the Holy Spirit would come upon you. That word there, come upon or upon, is epi. You know, we had talked, I think I did a study a while back about the Holy Spirit, and it's different, I guess, locations, you would say. But the first one, para, that Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, is walking beside us. As we're unsaved, He's beside us. When we accept Him in, there's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then this epi, that He comes upon us. That He comes upon us, we're already His. And it's we're His because we've believed. And the result of this epi, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, is found in John chapter 7, verse 38. It says, He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. The effects of the Holy Spirit coming upon us should have a dramatic change. Our water was polluted and now it's living. Our water was dead waters, but now it's living. That's the result of the Spirit. The angel saying to Mary, look at Mary, you have nothing in this. The Spirit of God is going to do this. The Holy Spirit's going to do this. Yeah, how can this be for you? Yeah, because you're not in it. God's using you as a vessel, but He's going to do it through the Holy Spirit. In His power that comes from Him, it will be the overshadowing force in your life. And the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. He will be the Messiah. The Messiah. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, so, you know, the angel says this, and then I think he's using Elizabeth just to encourage here. He says, now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son at her old age, and we know that to be John the Baptist, right? And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. You know, at some point during this, you know, when Mary had asked, how can it be? Certainly there was probably some doubt there of how could this impossibility, knowing that her relationship with man, that they hadn't been together, you know, Joseph and her were betrothed, but they weren't married. And so, you know, there was a commitment there, but she knows, hey, we haven't been together. So, in a sense, she doubted that this was even possible. And maybe you could even say that because of her nature, right? Mary was no different. No matter how many people want to say she was perfect, Mary was a sinner as we are. She had her doubts. She had her faithlessness, you know. And the angel here would want to encourage her, of course, and would tell her about the Holy Spirit and the power that would be on high. But, you know, we have these moments, don't we? We have these moments where we need encouragement from the Lord. We need encouragement from a brother or sister. We need encouragement, right? We have these times where we think very much like this, you know, like, how can this ever be possible? How can it be possible that I would be cured from cancer? How would it ever be possible that this person who would never come to church, that despises the name of the Lord, doesn't want to do anything with you because he's afraid that perhaps he would, you know, have to listen to about your relationship with the Lord, and how could it ever occur, or how could that situation ever be resolved, or whatever it is, right? And we look at things and we think that's absolutely impossible. And if from this side of heaven, perhaps we're right. Right? We're smart people. We figure it out, you know. But when it comes to the Lord, see, he works through impossibilities, doesn't he? There's a lot of impossibilities out there that are walking around. There's many people that have been healed by the Lord that shouldn't have been healed. There's many people that have been saved that we would say shouldn't have been ever saved, including us. But God works through that. But in the end of the end of toying around with, can God do this or can't he? We have to come to the same realization that Mary does, and she says, "Behold, who am I? Just a maidservant of the Lord." Right? Let it be according to your word. According to your word, Lord, you know, that you've placed here within me. And now 39, now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judea and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Remember Zacharias, he couldn't talk. No sense of greeting him. Right? And it happened that Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed are the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believes, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." So she goes to Elizabeth here. She visits her. I think the Holy Spirit guided her there for the sake of encouragement, to see Elizabeth in her pregnant state, to see an impossible situation resolved by the hand of God. You know, just a confirmation to her. She would receive the word of God from the angel. God told her through his words what was going to happen. And when you know, God confirms it through his Holy Spirit. The two match. You know, Elizabeth is standing there and she walks in and she greets Elizabeth, and it says there that the baby in her womb leaped. That must have been wild. But it was the act of the Holy Spirit that did this. See, without the Holy Spirit, you know, I mean, we see a lot of signs, don't we, about joy and all this stuff this time of year. But, you know, without the Holy Spirit, we can have no joy. It's that Holy Spirit that allows us to have joy. Right? It manifests joy within the Christian. See, any other joy is not really joy. If joy comes by things given out at Christmas time, if joy comes by eating the right foods, right, doing the right things, all that stuff, if joy comes by that, that's not the joy of the Holy Spirit. See, the joy of the Holy Spirit, just as fellowship is, it's unique to the believer in Christ. You know, that's where it occurs. It occurs through the Holy Spirit. It's something we can't manifest. We can manifest happiness. We can put happy, you know, but that's temporal, right? I need joy because, see, the joy is manifested through the Spirit. The Spirit of God is consistent from generation to generation to generation. Joy doesn't change because we change. Because the environment changes. Because situations changes. Because our bank account changes. Joy is the product of the Holy Spirit. It's a result of the Holy Spirit. I don't have what it takes to manifest joy. You ever ask, tell the Lord, Lord, I need some joy today, Lord. You know, you're kind of down in the dumps and stuff. What you're asking for, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to fill me. Right? It says here that, it says as she greeted Elizabeth, it said, she heard the greeting of Mary and the baby leaped in the womb and what? Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, that joy is a, you know, we, or that, what was I going to say? I don't know. Left me. Maybe it'll come back. but I still have joy. Still have joy. But, you know, so this is really what led up to the, you know, mine's titled the Song of Mary. But this is what led up to this magnification of the Lord. For Mary. Verse 46 says, My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. So when we think of you know, the previous verses here, you know, what was leading up to this magnification? It's really the grace of the Lord, right? Greed? It's the grace of the Lord that she had experienced, right? Because remember, she wasn't deserving of this. Right? We read later that she's a lowly servant. She confesses that. She says that. So it's the grace of the Lord. Secondly, she was bringing forth Jesus, the Messiah of the world, the Savior of all. Right? And thirdly, she experienced something that was impossible. The conception of the King of Kings. Impossible. Outside of the hand of God, it's impossible. And I think that's why, and that's what led into this whole song of Mary there. But let's look at the elements here of this song. It says, my soul magnifies the Lord. Have you ever magnified anything? Remember, ever tried to, I tell you more and more, right? We try to magnify the print on our pages so that we can see it. Because it's important, right? It's important to see His Word. So we magnify it. But it says she magnified the Lord. She made Him big. Right? The church needs to magnify the Lord. We need to magnify the Lord. We need to make Him stand out, in other words, to others. When they see us, who do they see? Do they see us, Fred, or do they see Jesus? That should be our resolve, right? We should want them to see Jesus. But so often they see Fred. When Fred's magnifying glass, in a sense, is cracked or dirty or whatever it is, right? Fred hasn't been with the Lord enough. They start to see the filthy rags rather than white as snow, right? That He's made us. And you know, we need to show the world Jesus, right? We need to show Him from young to old, right? You know, when I look at the nursing home and how we went there and sang, I think they are a forgotten population in a sense. They're old. They don't contribute to society. Matter of fact, they take money to take care of them, right, at the end of their lives. So a lot of people, even their children, despise them and would rather not spend time with it. It's just in a boring, hot place that you sit there and listen to them babble about the old days. Not once, not twice, but at least three times, right? You hear the same story over and over again. But you know Christ, He would want us to go there. He'd want us to share the gospel with them. He'd want us to love on them. Right? They have nothing to offer us. In a sense, they're married to us as Mary was to Jesus. Mary had nothing to offer, but Jesus used her, didn't He? That vessel. You know, one of the things that marked yesterday was something that Matt said. And Matt at the end said to the people, a lot of you have grandchildren. Remember this? And a lot of you have great-grandchildren. Show them Jesus. Right? Those people are in a position where they might get visitors that don't know the Lord. Why don't we give them the Lord? Why don't we magnify the Lord so they can see Him? So they can receive Him? You know? It's their last hours. You know, we pray that the Lord comes back right now, right? But for some of them, it's right now that they will meet the Lord. In a good way or a bad way, they're going to meet the Lord. And they're at the end of their life. The time is now, you know. They need to make a decision for Christ. And so yesterday we went in and we magnified the Lord for them. We showed them, right, how big He is, who He is. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine, right, that you glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're to be a witness. When she says, my soul magnifies you, she says, my desires, my affections, my feelings, my aversions, they all magnify you, Lord. That's what the soul is, right? It's all the house in which all those things are kept. I magnify you with all my soul. Everything. And it says, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Even Mary needed a Savior. She says, my spirit. Before she said, my soul. Now she says, my spirit rejoices. If you would think of the soul as possessing all those things we just talked about, the desires, the affections, feelings, aversions, all those things are encapsulated in the soul. If you think of the soul that way, perhaps think of spirit as one that animates that, right? That creates an animation of that and shows others those things in which God has placed His desires, His feelings, His affections, His aversions, you know, in us. May the Spirit, our spirit, animate that. And it says there again, rejoiced. She rejoiced. You know, I mean, is there anything else that we should rejoice about? And that rejoice really means that she jumped for joy. She's a little Pentecostal. You know? She was excited about her deliverer. That's what Savior means, a deliverer or a preserver there. Soter, deity. It speaks of deity. Anytime that Greek word soter is used, it speaks about deity, about God, the Savior. 48, and He has regarded the low state of His maidservant. This humble state, this humble, lowly state. You know, she's confessing here, look at, He regarded just little old me, you know, little old me. He said, Mary, I'm going to use you. Boy, did He use her, right? His maidservant, I like how she says that, His. It really tells us that, you know, she was all in, that she belonged to Him, that He owned her, you know. Everything about her, a maidservant. You know, a lot of times when we say doulos, we're talking about the servant slave, the bond servant. Here it's a doule, which is really the female slave that the owner has possession. God has possession of her. And she says, you've considered me. And then she goes on and says, for behold, henceforth all generations, of course, will call her blessed. And she was blessed by the Lord. It was a privilege. A blessing is a privilege that God gives us. And of course, it's only by His grace. We're going to finish up this stanza here through 55, and I want you to do something when we're reading through this. Is what is the prevailing theme here in her song? What is the prevailing theme? For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name, and His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. He has spoken of our fathers to Abraham, as he spoke to our father, to Abraham and his seed forever. The resounding theme here in her song is Jesus is God, right? He's given. He is, you know, just a resounding, the prevailing theme here is that when we, you know, live through this week of Christmas, we need to magnify Him, right? He's holy. He's graciously given His Son for us. His Son has died on the cross for our sins and claimed victory through the resurrection from the dead. We need to magnify Him. We need to see what good the Lord has done for us. How He has saved us. How He has resurrected these lives. And you know, how are we serving Him? How are we serving Him? In this lowly state? This maidservant was. She didn't deserve anything the Lord gave her, but He gave it to her. The most precious gift of all, right? Jesus. And for us, you know, how are we magnifying Him? To others, how are we showing how big the Lord is in our life? When people look at us, do they see Jesus, or is it just another person on the street? You know? And if you're lacking joy, there's no excuse as a Christian not to have joy. Because the Holy Spirit is available to us. And certainly, Paul asked it. Peter asked it. Many of the disciples you can find asked for it, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Can't remember who said it, but we leak, right? And we just need to be filled. You know, we're in this world and we just need to be filled. Lord, restore my joy, or Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, just as You did for Elizabeth. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your wonderful love for us, Lord. We just thank You, Father, for coming to this earth to save sinners from hell, from damnation, Lord, from continuous fires and punishment, Lord. So just thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. And we give You the praise. And may our days ahead, Lord, be used to magnify You, to give witness of what You have done in our lives. And we just thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.